Without those, you've got no chance of being productive at work.
Welcome to the Redefining Sales podcast, where we unpack the future of sales together. We will bring you the very best experts who can help you to navigate the pathway forward and shortcut the way there, learning from their successes, their failures, and everything that they can unpack to help us to take our first steps. Now, before we get stuck into today's conversation, we would love it if you would subscribe to our channel so that you never miss an episode. And also, if you love what you hear, leave us a review. That really helps us to spread the good word, attract even bigger and better guests who can help us all to navigate the pathway forward for the future of sales. Welcome to the Redefining Sales Podcast. My name's Abby White, and today we have with us Jay Pottinger, General Manager of EQ Minds. Now, I've been following Jay and his wife Chelsea's journey with EQ Minds for the past probably like 5 years and just absolutely loved everything that they do and have personally got so much value out of their work. And so I wanted to have Jay on today to really unpack some of his recommendations around productivity and high performance. Because to play a high performance game, it's not just about the strategies that we're deploying, the sales strategy, the marketing strategy. It's also, are we actually in a position to be on our A game? And actually, it was quite entertaining recording the podcast and talking about it because I'd had a really bad night's sleep the night before with my little boy. And I actually struggled to get through the conversation and struggled to construct the sentence, as you'll probably hear. And so it really actually brought me back to how much those foundations are just so critical to our success and actually putting us in a position to go play a big game, be on our A game in whatever it is that we're trying to achieve. So before we dive into the conversation around all things productivity, high performance, mindfulness, and so much more, let me just read you an extract of Jay's bio to set the scene. So Jay is a speaker and general manager at EQ Minds. And for 15 years, he's worked with companies like Westpac, Deutsche Bank, across various business development and leadership roles. Since joining EQ Minds in 2019, he's worked with high-profile clients like eBay, Estee Lauder, Woolworths, and IAG. And so not only do we have a conversation with Jay today, he is also one of our RevUp experts. So if you have not heard, we have just opened the doors to RevUp, which is our community that brings together revenue-generating teams to all come together, brainstorm, learn from the most incredible experts. So Jay has really kindly joined us as one of our lineup. And so if you want to check out RevUp, the link is in our show notes and you can be part of that community and membership journey as we go as well. Doors will be closing on the 30th of June. So make sure you check it out as soon as you can. Now, onto today's conversation with Jay. Make sure you've got your pad and pen as always, because Jay gives us many nuggets of gold and also some incredible book recommendations that I'm already on to ordering. Welcome to the Redefining Sales podcast. Today we have the amazing Jay Pottinger, who I am so excited to have on with us. Welcome, Jay.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. Beyond excited to be here with you as well.
So I have been watching EQ Minds' journey for the past, oh my gosh, 5+ years. I've lost track of time. How many
2016.
Years? 2016, yeah. Yeah, wow. And have loved every single step of your journey. I absolutely love everything that you guys do. For our audience, if anyone hasn't come across EQ Minds, I want to start by laying the foundations, a little bit about what you guys are doing, because I think it'll give really good context as to then the conversation that we're about to dive into. So can you give us a bit of a snapshot?
Yeah, well, back in 2016, my wife Chelsea had a very challenging bout of postnatal depression. And from that, she left her corporate career and created a mindfulness and mental health company. Back then, when we talked about mindfulness, it was still sort of seen with a bit like the hippies were doing it, maybe some yoga thrown in there. It was before mindfulness was actually a thing. So we were really fortunate that we got in very early, and it's just been an amazing journey. We work with some amazing brands, training them on how to take care of their mental health and perform at their best, both at work and in life as well.
And you guys have done some incredible things. I was sort of joking before, I've got Chelsea wrote a book, The Mindful High Performer, which if anyone's watching the video, I've got here, which is a must read. You have no idea how embarrassing it was the first time I saw that in Sydney Airport. And I got so excited and was taking selfies and sending a picture to Chelsea. You guys have got the incredible podcast. I know Chelsea does a lot of meditations that I think it's on Insight Timer. So you guys have done some amazing work that I know just even from my community has really helped people on their journey with some sort of highly practical tools.
Well, thank you for saying that. Yeah, super proud of what our little company has achieved, but it's also been a lot of hard work that's gone into it as well, for sure.
Yep, I can echo that as a fellow business owner. It's definitely hard work. I said to Jay before we started recording, I feel like I'm cheating on Chelsea by talking to Jay. So I'm sorry, Chelsea, if you're listening.
It's funny.
So look, I want to dive in with the first question. So the book that I actually just referenced, Chelsea's book that she wrote, was The Mindful High Performer. And I kind of feel we can't have a conversation about high performance, and Sales Redefined talks about high performance all the time. And I don't think we can have that conversation and it be complete with actually out looking at that mindfulness piece. What do you think are some of the core foundations, core principles to be able to play on your A game, show up at your best and play that big game, whatever that big game is to you?
Yeah, well, if we think of it like athletes, we all know that sort of talent and skill can only take them so far. And likewise, when it comes to work, knowledge and skill and our talent can only take us so far. We also need to have that drive, purpose, and discipline as well in order to reach our full potential. And I think we all need to sort of look at how we do that in order to make sure that we are achieving our best. And for a long time, we sort of have just let people do what they do at work, and we haven't trained them to actually perform at their very best.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I've listened to a really good podcast recently about sleep. And, you know, talk about even just those core basic principles that, you know, Chelsea talks about in the book and I've heard you talk about. And we often overlook it as just like, yeah, that's a given. It's a bit like today. I had a really bad night's sleep with my little boy. Today, I can't even construct a sentence properly, which makes podcasting pretty interesting. But it is those foundations that we often don't give enough time and merit to. And, you know, when you're trying to do other things, you skimp on the sleep. And that's actually, in some regards, the last thing you should be doing. So really going back to your point, having the discipline to do some of those basics.
Oh, absolutely. If you don't have the basics, whether it be sleep, whether it be exercise, whether it be taking care of your mental health, how can you show up to work and perform at your very best? You just can't, right? It's a full package. There's no longer just work and just life. It's this mix. And we need to take care of all facets of it to make sure that we're exceeding in both the work life and the personal life as well.
Yeah. And I know your particular sort of area of focus and superpower is around productivity. So I think productivity is an interesting topic in terms of how it's evolved. So if I sort of start with the foundations, if we're going, yep, okay, I need to look at my productivity. I've not necessarily been on my A game there. What would you start to look at as those stepping stones to boost your productivity?
Well, like what we were just talking about, it's making sure that we have those foundations in place, you know, sleep, exercise, nutrition. Without those, you've got no chance of being productive at work. And once you've sort of dialed those in to a decent level or to the maximum you can get, then it's looking at what you can do at work when it comes to productivity. And a lot of that, I think, comes to focus. We all have so much external noise at the moment. There's so much cognitive overflow. You know, there's so much information coming at us from all directions. How do we cut through that noise and really focus on what is important for us to be, you know, working on and achieving as well? And so it's really peeling that back and stop trying to do everything and focus on the things that are actually going to help you achieve your goals.
Yeah, I love the four disciplines of execution, and the first discipline of the four is focus on the wildly important. And like Warren Buffett has said, that's part of his success is focus. And it's really easy to say, but it's often quite hard to do. Do you have any tips around that, around if someone's trying to get better at their focus? How do you start to put that into practice, particularly when, you know, sometimes it's hard to say no, you don't want to say no, or you feel obliged, or it's hard to delegate? How do you start that journey of focus?
Oh, definitely. So a lot of people have this thing that they have to do everything, and a lot of people have this real fear of saying no because they're going to be letting people down. And when we set up boundaries in our own life, you realize that it's you're actually saying no to something so that you can give more energy to something else. And sometimes that person that you said no to will actually go off and find a better solution. So you're actually empowering them to look for someone who actually has time, capacity, and the space to actually, you know, invest in this project as much as they want to. I think when it comes to focus, the first thing you should be doing is really utilizing how you use your calendar a lot better. So a lot of people just get to work and the first thing they do is they get reactive. They start answering emails, they're picking up phone calls left and right, and they're not actually focusing on what they want to do. They're focusing on reacting to everyone else's whims and needs. So at the start of the day, get your to-do list, work out what those key priorities are, prioritize them, and then allocate time in your calendar so that you're actually using that time and not pushing it out the back end, and focusing on those things that are important to you and your success.
Yeah, the one I'm trying to work on with that is having the discipline, back to your word, discipline, to then stick to those and treat it like a meeting. Because I'll put time in my diary to go, right, I need to prepare my presentation, then put the time in the diary, and then something will come up and I'm having to try and train myself to use the same discipline to go, no, I've put that time in to do it, so I'm not doing it at 9 o'clock tonight, and it can't just be bumped out in the same way you wouldn't bump out a client meeting.
Oh, absolutely. And everyone struggles with that. And it takes practice, right? You've got to practice things to get better at it. And you've also, I guess, in a lot of ways, sometimes that burning desire to do everything again sort of overtakes it. But, you know, if you can be really clear on that to-do list, it certainly helps.
Yeah. And I want to sort of talking about some of the myths that we will sort of need to bust on productivity, because I feel like I know when I was in corporate, at the time probably that I started out, it was the badge of honor to get in first and to leave late because I'm so busy and, you know, super important. Clearly I was as a graduate, or I was important in my own head as a graduate. And then I think there was the like, oh, I can multitask really well, and the badge of honor because I can multitask and I can do it. And I think that, and I know I've even been like that, you know, when I had Jaden, well, that's fine. I can have a baby and a business. Check me out. I can do it all. Let's see how that pans out. And so I think that productivity has evolved now from what it used to be potentially even misinterpreted as being about, as to what it should truly be about. I'm probably not making a lot of sense there, but I want to bust some myths on what should we not be doing anymore, i.e. the multitasking, the badges of honor. What do we sort of feel are some of the myths that just no longer should have a place?
Yeah. So I guess for high performers, one of their superpowers is they just bang through heaps of work, and they're so focused. They drive so hard. They'll keep trying to do everything. But it's also their biggest weakness, that they will try and do everything. And guess what? When you do something, it's just going to get filled with something else. So doing more doesn't mean you're going to get to the end result that you want quicker. You actually need to pull it all back and focus on those things that are actually productive and important so that you can actually move in the right direction, rather than just trying to burn yourself out by not prioritizing things or trying to achieve everything that's on the to-do list. And guess what? The to-do list is always going to be there. It's always going to get filled up with more things. You cannot do everything. So we've just sort of got to let go of that expectation that we can be everything and anything to everybody.
Mm-hmm. I like, I once saw Chelsea present at an event, and she had a template, or reference a template, where she had a really beautiful no thank you email, and it was legendary because it was so respectful, it was so nice. And so, like you're saying, she was teaching us, how do we focus on the wildly important, how do we prioritize, but how do we say no, but do it in such a nice way that you felt more comfortable with. And I love the fact that she had different templates for no. I thought that was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, we've used them for a long time, and they're certainly very, very popular with clients. People love that because it's literally you just pick the one that's relevant to the situation that you're facing. Because it is hard to say no to people for sure, especially if you feel like you're missing an opportunity. But when you say no to something, you might be opening yourself up to something else that might be even better as well.
Are there any other productivity tools that you feel, your clients have really got a lot of benefit from and people should start to think about? Because that email is a great example of just one tool you can have in your kit bag that instantly will help you become more productive.
I love it's an activity called the ruthless prioritization activity. So everyone spends a lot of time planning at the start of the day, right? And they do their to-do list, what's most important. Hopefully they prioritize it. But I've actually done it. So at the end of the day, I spend a little bit of time and I review what I did during that day and I look at where I've spent my time. And then I'll actually go, okay, well, I've spent the time correctly or incorrectly. And if it's incorrectly, I'll then make a commitment to myself that I'm not going to do that task for the rest of the week again. And it really opens up a whole heap of time where you realize you've misallocated time. And then take that time and put it towards something that is more important, hopefully your most important task. And so the next day when you arrive at work, you know exactly what you need to do. Rather than spending time planning and all that, you're ready to go. You just jump straight into it. You can block out your calendar and move forward with your day that way. So I think that's a really powerful tool that not a lot of people use at the moment.
How are you defining what's incorrect? Is it, oh, I could have delegated that to somebody else? Is it that probably isn't going to work and deliver a result for our business? Or like, how are you defining that was incorrect for me to do?
Oh, absolutely. So it's just it all goes back to what am I actually prioritizing on? So if it's not helping me achieve that specific goal or two or three goals that were my objectives for the day, then it's not seen as an important thing. Now, obviously, there's things that pop up that you just have to do. It's life, right? But you will notice really quickly where you've gone, oh, I spent a whole bunch of time working on this thing that hasn't moved the dial at all for me, or why did I spend time even doing that or considering doing that? That hasn't helped me at all. Once you do it post, it's really easy to recognize where you have misallocated time in your day for sure.
And that's really interesting as like a reflection exercise. And I've heard quite a few people say that's a really good exercise at the end of the day. So you're setting yourself up fresh for the next day ahead.
Oh, definitely. I'll be honest, I stole this from a lady called Teresa Amabile from Harvard. She's got an amazing TED talk, and she talks about this reflection exercise. And she asks herself a series of questions at the end of the day. It's really, really good for sort of doing a review, but it's also actually really good for recognizing how much you've done during the day so that you actually have achieved quite a lot. Because many of us, we only ever focus on that end big goal. We don't think about all the millions of little things that we do along the way to help us achieve our success. And so it's really powerful to sort of build this motivation and recognize that you are moving in the right direction. And if you're not moving in the right direction, how do you change and shift so that you do?
And I think one thing that's interesting for me is, we're talking about high performance, and you said it before. Typically, people who are wanting to play a high performance game, they want to do it all, they want to do everything. And I know myself, I've fallen into the burnout camp. I've had chronic fatigue. I've absolutely had that hit a wall because it's only so long. You think you're invincible and that you're just never gonna, oh, that's not gonna happen to me. And you do, you get hit with it.
Definitely. So it's probably different for everyone. So you need to be aware of your individual circumstances and the different things that you feel and experience when you're going into that burnout phase. For me, when I'm pushing too hard, I definitely realize that I start getting very short with people. My tolerance for things reduces significantly, and people can, I know that this is happening, and certainly those people around me know that it's happening as well. I also get a bit revved up, like I feel like I've had, 10 coffees that morning or something. So I'm sort of in this overdrive. For other people who have anxiety, maybe it's that, you know, this stress, they start making poor decisions. They don't know where to focus their attention. They try to do everything. Maybe they get a little bit manic. So you just got to be aware of what's actually impacting you. And then, as we spoke about earlier, what are the steps that you do? Well, you've got to peel everything back and go back to the absolute basics, right? If you feel yourself, you know, spiraling or getting into this, you know, really negative mindset, go back to the simple things. Are you making sure you sleep properly? Are you eating well? You're taking care of your nutrition? Are you making sure you're getting out and exercising every single day? And then you take that to-do list and you literally rip out everything you can and you only focus on the essentials, because if you don't get yourself back on track, it's going to be a much longer recovery period than if you get those essentials, you know, up and running a lot quicker and get yourself moving in the right direction. So definitely go back to the basics for sure.
And something that I've watched EQ Minds do that I know you talk about on your socials, and you guys really walk the talk, you know, knowing both of you guys, you really, really walk the talk, is you actually as a company, and I'm hoping you can talk to me about this, as a company, you actually have a timeout, I think it's every 6 weeks, and go off the grid so that you do actually reset and not reach that burnout point. Can you talk to us about that? Did I get that right, or have I...
Yeah, absolutely. We try and plan everything 6 weeks. And usually when people hear about that, they think, oh, that's very indulgent. But it certainly doesn't have to be indulgent. It might just be going away for a long weekend. It might be just literally shutting off the computer for a couple of days straight, turning off the phones, going off grid so that you can hit the reset button. Obviously, if you can get away, go to a retreat, or, you know, go somewhere with family or your friends, even better. But it doesn't have to be anything huge. You know, maybe camping helps you get back on track, whatever it is, just to disconnect from work for a few days so that you can come back fresher. And you will certainly notice the difference, that you have more energy, you have more focus, and you're feeling a lot better about everything that you're doing, for sure.
Yeah, I really was inspired by that one, because it's so nice to just have the, even if it's a change of scenery, of just going up the road. Like, actually, we were down your way recently for a 24-hour period as a team. And I kind of thought, oh, for 24 hours, are we going to do that? But it was brilliant because it was just change of scenery. It was a different headspace. And yeah, it was really, really nice to do that.
Oh, absolutely. Going to new places, great for the brain, right? Helps with plasticity and help us, you know, see new things, experience new things. It's fantastic. It's a great way to reset.
So I want to talk to you about getting started, because I know that a lot of the time, you know, when I read certain things, like, oh yeah, I must do that, I must do that. And, you know, as all of us know, you know, most of the time we start a new habit and, you know, within a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, it sort of starts to slip. What are some of the recommendations that you and the EQ Minds team give to people to help actually jumpstart, reset, and go with some of the recommendations we've talked about?
Yeah. Okay. So when it comes to starting a new habit, it's all about starting small. So many people decide that, you know, okay, I want to run a marathon, so I'm just going to try and run a marathon straight off. You don't do that. You start by, you know, maybe going for a walk, or then running 1K and 3K and 5K. And likewise, when you're building new habits, you need to start really small. So BJ Fogg from Stanford's got a great book, and it's called Tiny Little Habits. And it's just simple ways that you can make small little changes in your life so that you move in the right direction. I'm also a huge believer that your environment plays such a dramatic role in the choices you make. So it can either cause friction or it can reduce friction. And for many of us, you know, we're trying to start to eat healthy. So why do we have bags of chips or chocolates in the cupboard? If that's the case, of course you're going to fail. It's not going to work. So you need to get rid of everything, start fresh, make sure your environment is set up for you to succeed. And likewise, we can apply those same principles when it comes to your office. Are you walking into your office or where you work, you know, whether that's at the office or that's your home office, is this environment conducive to work, or is it conducive to distractions? Is there mess everywhere? Is there too much going on? Have you set up your phone so that it limits the calls? You know, are you using focus mode? Whatever it may be, to ensure that that habit that you're trying to instill, that you have maximum friction to create that habit and minimum friction to go off track. So that's what we talk about at EQ Minds.
I was laughing at the office because it's the only part of our house. So we work in the city sometimes and then from home some of the rest of the week and got the hybrid work as most people do. And my office is literally the only room in the house that I'm quite precious about and I want it how I want it. And I have a four-year-old who doesn't believe in that philosophy and comes in and I'll have something on my whiteboard that I'm really like brainstorming and he'll just scrub it out. Or he gets all my books and pulls them out. And you walk in, you're like, no, don't do that to the office. Not the office. And it's funny, I can deal with it in the other parts of the house. But in the office, I'm like, nah, I don't want to be sitting there in a pile of junk. I want to actually be in a good headspace. So I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, sorry, I don't know how to control a four-year-old anymore. Thankfully, my little ones are a lot older and we can put some rules in place for that. So it's a no-go zone in our office.
Well, you actually do a lot of this. This is what I love, that you guys openly share how much with your little girl, Clara, you actually also embrace some of these rituals at home. And does that help everyone stick to it? Because you're also getting on board as a family and Clara's part of that. She's, you know, is she five, six?
Oh, she just turned eight, actually. So
how did that happen?
I know, it's crazy. It's crazy. Yes, it absolutely helps. And it's wonderful to see her growth and development and how she's, you know, putting these little changes into her life. But let's be honest, she's eight. There's still a lot of work to do. And both from her and us as parents as well, it's a constant struggle. The balance, it's very difficult to maintain. But yes, we certainly try and apply these principles to her life as well.
Yeah. And I love what you said about setting up your environment. I worked with someone who previously would help people around weight and exactly the same thing. You know, if you're trying to lose weight, clear out the pantry. I know Easter was absolutely terrible in our house because the amount of Easter eggs that people bought for Jaden, which obviously I just wanted to taste test, you know, it just totally makes you fall off the rails because it's there, it's accessible rather than actually going, right, have I removed the distractions or the cheating chocolate or whatever it might be?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's crazy. Like people think I'm so weird that at times, you know, we'll have weekend, we'll have friends here, maybe there's ice cream in the house. And on the Sunday, I'll just go through everything and I'll just throw it in the bin. And people look at me like I'm absolutely crazy. But it's like, it's a $1 chocolate bar, you know? Does it really matter? I mean, I know that for some people it does, but, you know, making healthy choices, I think, is just so important to how we feel and, you know, how we move through our weeks with positive energy or negative energy as well.
Mm. So I know that you have a lot of rituals and we've talked about quite a few things here, whether it's, you know, focus, whether it's setting up your environment for success, whether it's sleep, whether it's exercise, whatever it might be. If you could just have one, a really, really, really cruel question, you had like a day ahead and you could only focus on one thing, which one do you think is the most critical to your success? Very cruel question.
That is a tough question. Well, excluding sleep, because sleep is basically the greatest performance enhancer known to man, I would say I'm going to have to go with exercise. If you don't do exercise, you're just not feeling at your best. It's, you know, it's the best longevity tool we have. It's the best tool to improve our brain to be able to focus more. It improves your mood. It reduces your stress. Definitely I'm saying exercise. Exercise should be the first thing that you put in your calendar every single morning when you arrive at work so that it doesn't get pushed out so that you can actually spend some time on it.
Yeah. I did a mood meter app recently where you have to, it's like a test over 2 weeks and you have to plot at certain times of the day, right? What's my mood of I'm feeling really flat or I'm feeling really energized or what it is. And you then have to say what you were doing. And it was interesting how much all of my just, you know, it sounds really silly to say it, but all the high energy, all the feeling great, feeling positive, all the rest of it came from when I had exercised or the days that I'd exercised. But yet so often you fall off the horse and you kind of forget about, even though you don't want to go outside because it's cold and it's wet and it's all those things, actually how good you will feel afterwards if you can just get out and go for it.
Oh, especially at the moment, right, with so much stress around and, you know, people needing resilience to face all the external factors that we have, the best thing you can do for both of those is just get out and exercise. And yet when we're at our busiest, when we're at our most stressed, that's when we sort of forget to exercise, which is probably the most essential time to be doing it.
Yeah. Jacinta McDonald, who is co-founder of Anytime Fitness, who I think you met when we were at an event together quite a few years ago, talked about whenever times got tough during the business, she would double down on her self-care because that's when you need to do it most, which I think is what you're saying.
100%. Those are the times you need to focus in on yourself the most. Definitely.
So you mentioned about the book Tiny Habits before. I have to ask you about books. Other than Chelsea's book, The Mindful High Performer, which I absolutely love and I have on my desk, and it's one of the few books that Jaden hasn't pulled all of the sticky tabs on, you'll see. Some of them have been pulled out, but not all of them have been pulled out by my four-year-old. Other than that book, if you had to pick another book that's been influential on you or you recommend to a lot of people, what would it be?
So this is a very boy answer, but I think the book Extreme Ownership by Jocko Willink, he's the Navy SEAL or Marine. His book is just incredible, and it's certainly definitely changed the way I looked at accountability, not only for myself, but for my team as well. So I used to work in a bank, looked after a large sales team for a division, and that really helped me as a leader and a manager. And it's all about taking accountability of things, taking accountability of the failures that happen and also the failures of your team. That was on me. And I think that book has so many great principles when it comes to life, right? So that we need to take accountability of where we're at. So everyone, you know, we get to these stages because of a lot of choices we've made. But the good news is we can make change. And if we just get accountable, we can make change for the positive and change our circumstances at any point in time. So I love that book. It's such a good book.
I've written that one down because I like the sound of that. I actually quite like books like that because I think you can learn so much from people who have done that. SAS or that sort of Marine, you know, background, that just the discipline, the mindset, the strength to do what they do. It's, you know, borderline superhuman, some of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And the way he does it is really good because he applies it to, you know, his military experience, but then he also applies it to, he's got a consulting business that consults into, you know, amazing companies mainly across the US, but the world as well. And different stories, how he's applied that in the corporate setting as well. So super powerful.
Yeah, fantastic. Jay, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I have absolutely loved having you on. I love all the work that you guys do and follow it very, very, very closely. If our audience wants to connect with you or EQ Minds team, where are we best to find you and hang out? Because I know you also have a lot of tools and resources that people can access as well.
Yeah, definitely. We've got lots of tools and free downloads and things like that on our website, eqminds.com. If you'd like tips around mental health and mindfulness, we do them on our socials, which is primarily Instagram, which is at eqminds. But we also post pretty regularly on LinkedIn, where we provide tips and tools for the corporate space when it comes to mental health, mindfulness, and performance. Thank you so much for having me along today, Abby. It's been an absolute pleasure. Really love what you are doing and very much looking forward to being part of your new program.
Yeah, so Jay is part of our Rev Up program and is one of our experts. So going to be talking about productivity and really expanding on from the conversation today about high performance. So we are super, super excited. I said to Jay earlier before we were recording, when I was working to design the program, I had the EQ Minds team in my mind and was really, really hoping that you guys would jump on board. So when you said yes, I was super excited because it was kind of written for you. So if you just said no, I would have been devastated.
It's an absolute pleasure. It's great to be on it. And we've been working with you for such a long time. I still remember that first conference or offsite that you ran. You had some amazing speakers there, learned so much that day. So I'm looking forward to learning more.
Amazing. Well, thank you again, Jay. It was amazing having you on.
Thanks so much. Thank you.
Before you leave us, doors have officially opened for our next intake of RevUp. Doors will be closing on the 30th of June. Now, if you have not heard about RevUp, this is our new revenue enablement where your revenue generating teams will all come together to learn from leading experts. The experts that we have lined up to teach the RevUp system are absolutely incredible. We have LinkedIn teaching social selling. We have Julie Masters teaching influence. We have Maz Farrelly, whose content has had 8 billion views, teaching us about storytelling and standing out from the crowd. We have Jay Pottinger teaching us about productivity and many more. We will go through the entire journey of how do you rev up your sales aligned to these leading experts. So if you want to check out RevUp before the doors close on the 30th of June, then simply click the link in our show notes and visit member.salesredefined.com.au and you can find out all the details you need to know, or you can book in for a chat. We love to have a chat to see whether it's the right fit for your revenue generating teams.